there are certain things that we need to change our thinking about. We looked at the people in Athens. We looked at the Mars Hills. They had all these false gods. And Paul said, let me introduce you to the one true God. And he says, there is something you need to change your mind and your thinking. And he talked about a God that was long-suffering. I talked about a God that was just. And then there was also the realization of a conscientious mind. He talked about someday we will all die. Someday we will all stand before God in different types of judgment, one for the saved, one for the unsaved. And all those things we should be considering as we're looking at our minds, when we're looking at our actions, we should be saying, okay, I need to change what I'm thinking because what I think is what I become. And because of that, because someday I'll stand before God. Next one is a realization of a captured mind, that we not only should be captured by the truth of God should capture us. We should be open to the truths of God. We should be owned by the truths of God too. So we see that last week we talked about it. Kind of a little bit of change. Instead of these ideas of different things about having an open mind, we looked at last week, not only does our mind need to be open to good things, but also needs to be closed to bad things. Open to good things and closed to bad things. And that was pretty obvious in the understanding there are certain things that we should receive in, and there's certain things we should not receive in here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read the whole chapter here. And we're going to just point at one verse for the lesson, but the next four lessons will come from this chapter just as the other lessons came from Acts chapter 17. As we look at the thought of the complacent mind, the complacent mind. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, once again, these are people that have been believers. They are departing from the faith and the idea that they have been listening and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Listen, and as they begin to listen to these lies, they begin themselves speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We all know believers that at one point in time in their life used to believe what the Bible said. And then they began to give over to false doctrines and listen to the doctrines of the devils and seducing spirits about how the Bible wasn't right and the Bible wasn't true. And them themselves began to speak lies and hypocrisy because their consciences have been seared. And we use that example of the cows that are branded, that they have become deadened in that area. Verse number 3, forbidding the marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, some people talks about because of the Jewish laws, we forbid them to eat certain meats. Here's where in the New Testament we show that we're under a new law and under a new covenant, and that we are able to eat the different creatures, the animals that God has provided for her. In verse number 4 it says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So some will say, because in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel, which we are not the nation of Israel, they could not eat crustaceans or shrimp and things like that. And they said, well, you can't eat those things because what the Old Testament says. And there we know are for ourselves that God has fulfilled the law through Jesus Christ, and we're not under that law anymore. And in verse 4, he gives us the ability to eat. And that's just, has nothing to do with the lesson, but it might help you in the future if somebody asks you those questions. Verse number 5, for he is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane, and once again, some things that we need to refuse, some things that we need to just close our mind to, but refuse profane and old wives' tales. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For a bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit some. And once again, being in good shape, that's great and that's wonderful, but it's not as important as our being spiritually strong. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Verse 13 is our theme verse for today. Till I come, he's telling Timothy here, look, until I come, he says, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I know that was a long passage of scripture, but we're going to look here in verse number 13. Once again, Paul is giving instruction to Timothy here. And this is something I think we can use to help our lives and help our minds. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. The title of this morning lesson is The Complacent Mind. The Complacent Mind. The word complacent, and most of us would know this as an idea of satisfaction, but there's a little bit even farther for this. It's showing a smug or an uncritical satisfaction of oneself or one's achievement. Someone who is pleased, especially with the oneness of one or one's merits or advantages or situation, often without awareness of some potential danger or defect. Now, what that is saying is that we get to a spot where we think we know everything and we no longer have to learn anything. You ever met somebody who thought they knew everything? I've met a few. And there are certain things about certain subjects that we might feel like we cannot learn anything about. Well, what Paul is telling Timothy here, and this is something that's important, if we really truly want to have victory in our mind, we got to come to the spot where we realize that we do not know everything. We cannot become complacent when it comes to the things of God. We cannot say, well, I know all these things and tune everything out. God is always trying to work and always trying to teach us the different doctrines of the Bible. Paul himself, you know, his holy aspiration was just to know him better and would learn and would read. And he's telling Timothy here, he says, give attention to reading through exhortation and to doctrine. See, the body and the brain have a tendency to be lazy. The body and the brain, our flesh, has a tendency to be lazy. Even in today's culture, technology encourages us to put our brains in neutral. They say, well, just put the TV on. Let it do your thinking for you. Let the internet do your thinking. Let your video games, your cell phones. You ever seen someone who was so dependent upon their technology? It's like, what would they do if it wasn't there? I got to be honest with you, I'm that way when it comes to a GPS. I haven't read a map for a very, very long time. And my wife is a little bit more, not as challenged as I am when it comes to direction, when it comes to finding different things. If my GPS wasn't there with me, I would be in trouble. I would have to check my phone GPS. And then if that wasn't there, then I probably had to call somebody for directions because I'm just not the greatest at finding locations. I always type the address, even if I've been to Lane's house probably 10 or 15 times at least, if not more. And I still type in the directions to make sure I do not get to the wrong spot. And I could get there if I had to, but it's just the idea that I want somebody to tell me, hey, make this little turn or make this turn just to make sure I'm getting to the right spot. And it's when it comes to driving, many times I put that and allow that to do my thinking. But many times this is what happens to our brains. We become lazy. We become lazy. We think we know things. We don't see a need to study the Word of God. We don't see a need to invest and investigate the Word of God. We don't see the purpose and reading and trying to understand more parts of the Word of God. I've met people that even in our church just say, hey, I'm good. I don't need to know any more about that. I'm settled. And there are certain things we should be settled about, but we can always increase in our learning about different subjects. I don't know about you, but I thought that I had a certain subjects taken and understood them pretty well. And then as you study, as you learn, the Lord reveals more, an easier way to understand it, easier way to explain it. You are always growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you've been saved for a year or you've been saved for 50 years, there's things that you can still learn. And I am encouraged when I hear people that have been saved for many years come back and say, you know what? I never thought about it that way. There's been a number of times, Miss Patty's mom, Mrs. Franks, she comes out of her Genesis series. She says, I've read Genesis many times. She says, but the way you've talked about some different things, it shed some new light. And that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit of God just showing us we do not know everything and that God wants to teach and God wants to show us different things. Paul did not have a complacent mind. Paul did not have a complacent mind. I want you to picture with me for a second. Paul, as he's getting ready to pass away in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul is getting ready to die, and he knows he's getting ready to die. He is there, and he's waiting for the moments to hear the executioner coming to his cell and says, okay, it's time. But we don't see Paul in his retirement ages, sitting in his lazy boy chair, thinking he knows everything, waiting for his next vacation. Once again, there's nothing wrong with lazy boy chairs. I don't have a lazy boy chair, but I do have a recliner, and I like sitting in it. But I think that we can become lazy and complacent about things and care more about our recliner and more about our own comfort than we do about people that are dying and going to hell. And that's a problem, that we become complacent in our minds and with our bodies. But you think about the Apostle Paul, and he is not living off of Social Security, just waiting for the next thing to happen. He is in a prison cell. His aching body is probably hunched into a corner of a cold, damp Roman prison waiting for execution. He expects at any moment to know that tomorrow he was going to die. And as he writes these two letters, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then also 2 Timothy later on, they were at different times and different periods, but Paul did not know how much longer he was going to be around. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he offers this letter, and he gives him a letter that Timothy can take with him and he can learn. So think about what he writes in one of the last words. He says, "The cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchment." That's in 2 Timothy 4:13. He says, look, when you come, please bring me my coat. Now, why would a person want to wear a coat? It's because they're cold. Probably in the jail cell he was in, it was cold. It was not ideal circumstances. It was probably getting a cold time of year. It's not cold in here this morning. It might be cold outside, but thankfully it's not cold out here. I mean, cold in here. And we get to the point that Paul, he is desperate here, and he says, look, please bring me my coat. And that would be reasonable, wouldn't it? You know, hey, bring me my coat. I want to be warm. But he doesn't just stop there. Paul knows he's not getting out of this prison cell. He knows he's already said, hey, I'm ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He knows he's dying. But what does he do? He says, can you bring me my books, please? And he says, and can you bring me the parchments? He's saying, hey, I want to learn more. I want to study more. I want to be able to help somebody else. Even if it's just the last few days I have left, bring me the scriptures. My soul was still hungry. I still can learn. My mind is weary, so bring me my books. My body is cold, so bring me my coats. I have a few more hours to use for Jesus Christ. This is no time for complacency. And Paul here shows us and teaches us, even at the end of his life, he was still able to understand. He says, I want to be used by God, even for these last few hours. He had already done enough. He had already done so much that anybody else that would say, Paul, just take it easy, just rest. No. Paul says, can you please bring me my books, bring me the parchments, bring me the scriptures. I want to do more. I want to learn more. But the day and times we live in, we become lazy and we think, hey, I've been here for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years and I've been a Christian for many years. There is nothing else I can really learn. And that's when our mind becomes complacent. So the first thing is the challenge of a searching mind. The challenge of a searching mind. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading. He says, give attendance to reading. Did you know? Stats show us that Americans spend more money annually on chewing gum than they do books. Isn't that amazing? They spend more money on chewing gum than they do books. Now, not everybody does. I do not buy chewing gum. I do not like chewing gum that much. But I do buy books. So I think I'm in the minority here. But do you spend more money on chewing gum or books? That's an interesting thought there. It's because people no longer like to read. Many times they no longer like to learn. When did the reading become so unimportant to many others? But not even the importance of reading is the key, but what we read should be the key. The information highway is cluttered with garbage and debris that is detouring many Christians and many from a life of God and the life that God has designated for them. Paul here says, look, Timothy, you need to focus. Give attendance to reading. He says, challenge yourself. In the Bible, we are challenged to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The aged prophet, or the aged disciple, apostle, is telling Timothy, look, you need to study. You need to be able to show yourself approved, that you're a workman. But how many of us really, truly study the Word of God? How many of us really study the Bible? And this is what the idea, if we want to have the right mind, if we want to have a mind that is not complacent, if we want to have a mind that's been changed by the truth of the Bible, a mind that's been brainwashed, we must learn to study. Hosea chapter 4:6, even though they knew all the truths, they had the word of God in their presence in the nation of Israel. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They've been destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. And it is a problem that's in the day and time we live in, just like it was back in the nation of Israel. We have the word of God. We have the truths of the word of God. They've been preserved for us in our Bibles. And the Bible's saying that they are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. It's because people do not study it, because people do not read it. They have allowed false doctrines and seducing spirits. They have allowed hypocrisy. They've allowed their consciences and their minds to be seared because they are not willing to study the word of God. Hosea 4:6 said, they said, my people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The nation of Israel headed back into slavery because of the fact that they forgot the word of God, or they were not willing to obey the word of God. So we also not only see the challenge of a searching mind, we are challenged. We are also challenged to search the word of God. Not only are we challenged to read the word of God and to study the word of God, the Bible actually says we should search it. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 2 verses 1 through 5. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So we have the encouragement that to receive the words of God. I think we do that, don't we? We take the word of God and we receive it. At least we do it when we're preaching. If we're listening at all, we're receiving the word of God. We're supposed to do it with reading too. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 says, if you'll receive the word of God, the next step is to hide them within our hearts. It says, so that thou incline thine ears unto wisdom and apply thine heart to knowledge. That means that we're learning the things that we have hidden in our hearts. We are applying the things we have hidden in our hearts, but we just don't stop there. And it says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. That means taking a step farther. Already have learned and have already applied, but you desire more knowledge. It says, cry after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. That means asking God for wisdom, asking God to explain his holy word, showing us the things that God desires for us out of his word. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And it's saying here that if we'll take the word of God and we will seek for her as a hid treasure, that we'll seek for her as there was hid silver. Like yesterday we had a scavenger hunt and there were things out there. One team won. The other two teams lost. When they were searching, they would have all had the exact same amount of points. They would have went out and all sought for the exact same things. Miss Carol came in. She was a scavenger hunt lady. She picked up a horseshoe and says, you guys didn't find this. And she picked up another thing. You guys missed this. And you guys missed this. You guys missed that. They didn't find it because they weren't maybe looking hard enough. And there was like 15 kids on each team, or 10 to 15 kids on every team, looking in a short area, just looking for things. And the word of God is filled with treasures. But does this really sound like, whose Bible study does this sound like? And I don't want you to raise your hands or point to anybody. It says, but we're seeking through the Bible and the word of God as a hid treasure. If we're really looking in the word of God as something that is going to be as valuable to us as silver and as gold. Say, Pastor, that seems a little bit much. If you want to have a clean thought life, if you really want to have victory in this area, we cannot be complacent. We got to say the word of God can give me help. God has created my mind. He has promised me I can capture every thought in under the obedience of Jesus Christ. He says I can look at his word, that it has hid treasures in it, and that it has things as precious as silver in it, and I can learn and I can understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I don't know about you, but there are certain things that I have learned about the Bible that I would not trade in for money. There are certain truths that God has showed me and taught me that I am thankful for, and he has showed me and gives me peace through that is more valuable than silver or for gold. And there is hidden treasure. I don't know about you, as you study through the word of God, and I know, Pastor, you get paid to study through the word of God. You know, you get to preach. You have to do this. But as you learn and as you study, there's just things that God opens up to you, understanding of things that just blows your mind away. That's part of the reasons why I like going through books of the Bible. It forces us to be biblical people and understand all those different things. This morning, we're going to look at the story how God told Abraham, okay, cast out Hagar and Ishmael. And reading that story, you're thinking, how in the world could God tell Abraham to get rid of his son? And maybe this other woman, this bondwoman, she's a servant. He owns her, maybe. But his own son cast him out. And that's a difficult thing to consider and think about. But you're going to hear this morning in the message, there's a reason. It's an illustration. It's a purpose. And it teaches us a lot of different things. There is much that we can learn from the Bible. And there's many things we can capture. But we will never do it because our minds have become complacent. We think we know it. I remember talking to my wife, tutored a boy. A couple of boys, when we first got here, they went over to Victory, and she helped tutor a couple. She was a teacher for a number of years. And one boy, I kept on both trying to get them both to come to church. And this one boy liked one of the girls in our church. So he would come. He says, I asked him about the service. He says, I heard that lesson so many times. I know it front words and backwards. I can tell you this and I can tell you that. Some people, and was talking about the 10 people that got healed from leprosy, how one returned. And he began to tell me, I heard one preacher said that the 10 got all the way healed and they all got saved. I heard one said only one got saved. He says, what can I learn from that? You know what? At a bright age of 12, this young man thought he had it all figured out already. And you know what? We can't become complacent where we just do not think we need to study the Word of God anymore. We have been satisfied with just checking a box off for so long that we don't think and meditate anymore. Our nature tells us to just let our phone do the thinking for us, the TV, and everything else do our thinking. But God wants us to meditate on His Word day and night. And this is not normal. This is what, if we want to have victory in our thought lives, this is where it comes from. Not being satisfied. He's telling Timothy, a preacher of the church of Ephesus, he's learned from Paul already. He knows much. He says, give attention to reading. But even a step farther, Paul is saying, look, I'm getting ready to die, but I might have a few more days. Can you please send me my books? I want to know more. I want to learn more. Man, if our study time was like that, how much more will we know and understand? Okay, not only is it about being a searching mind, another thought is, you know, we become so good and knowledgeable about certain things. I have a couple other things here, but we're just going to skip over this. We become enamored with the wisdom of men and so bored with God's truth. And I bet you we could. Maybe this is not the right message for everybody in this room, because I know you're all super spiritual, but some people come so enamored with Fox News that you could tell us what the Fox, and I don't think Fox News is bad. I think some of it's a little bit much, but I think that you can learn a lot of good things from newscasts, but when we know more about what the newscast says than what the Bible says, we come in trouble. And I like sports. If I know more about who won the basketball game last night because I looked at that more than I looked in my Bible, well, there's something wrong. And you can use it as sports, you can use it as recipes, you can use it whatever you want to use it. If we become enamored with the men and men's wisdom and how men does things, how men save money, how men do this, how men build things, and not enamored with the Word of God, we're in trouble. We become complacent when it comes to our spiritual minds. The Bible says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made the foolishness the wisdom of this world? So we need to be careful that we make sure that we are doing what we should supposed to and that we have a searching mind. The next thing is, not only is it a searching mind, the challenge of a stirred mind. A challenge of a stirred mind. You see, not only does it say to be searching and reading, it says to exhortation. Exhortation here. It's saying here that we need to be stirred and to be encouraged to learn new things. It said the faithful preaching and teaching of God's word is designed to stir our minds. The Apostle Peter wrote his second epistle for this purpose. He writes in 2 Peter 3:1, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He's saying here, I wrote this for a purpose. I want to stir your minds up in remembrance. I know you've all heard it before. I know you were there when I preached it before. I know you were there when so-and-so taught on this before. But I want to stir this up in your mind and bring this back to your memories. It's just not enough to have a knowledge of it. You got to be living with this knowledge. You need to stir it up and be anxiously understanding and exhorting others to do this. I know Peter's audience had heard the truth many times before. It was his desire to keep on preaching it to what their, that their minds would be established in the truth. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 and 13 says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to you to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." He says, look, I know you know these things, but you need to be established. It's not enough just to know. You must be established in these truths. "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And you know, sometimes the Bible is, it is one book and you're always learning, but we need to be stirred up in remembrance and stirred up in the things. People today think that they've done God a favor just by showing up to church on Sunday morning. They can show up 10 minutes late for church and say, okay, I'm here. I must be something great. But the book of Acts, what did it do? They went to church every single day. They fellowshiped together. They thought about the word of God together every single day. Maybe that's why the early church had constant revival. And that's why our church is so lazy when it comes to remembering and studying the word of God. Many people, even though they know the truth, they have forsaken the truth. Think about it. For my people in Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me the fountain of living waters and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, and here's the idea. So they're saying, look, you've forsaken me and you have turned to the things that cannot refresh you. You can turn to the things that cannot please you. You've turned to the things that just cannot benefit you. The Bible's talking about that our minds need to be stirred. The world daily numbs our minds into believing a lie, but we need to, the exhortation of God's words to stir us in the truth. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 verses 12 to 13, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We need to make sure that we are giving attendance to this, and attendance to exhortation. And it's important that our minds are stirred to continue on in this truth. The truth is, we're not going to be satisfied with anything else. If we're a Christian, we desire the Word of God. We desire the sincere milk of the Word. We can turn to other things. You know, today you could go around town. You might see Walmart's parking lot filled. You can go to many football stadiums today. And you can see their parking lots are filled. You can probably go to movie theaters today. I guess they're open on Sundays. I'm sure they are. They're probably filled. Everybody has an interest in learning about something or enjoying something or being a part of something. But we must have our minds stirred to be exhorted in learning the truths of the Bible. It's not just searching it. It's not just saying, okay, I know this now. It's taking it and applying to our lives and our minds. So not only is it the challenge of a searching mind and a challenge of a stirred mind, but also a sound mind. Look what it says here in the last phrase, "Till I come give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." To doctrine. This is the teachings of the Word of God. And 2 Timothy verse Chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen. He desires us to have a sound mind and a mind that searches the scriptures, a mind that is constantly stirred up through the preaching of the scriptures will be a sound mind, a sound mind. People go through life seeking peace. People go through life seeking contentment. They've tried all that the devil has to offer, but nothing really truly satisfies. From party to party, from weekend to weekend, they live empty lives with a craving of more of that which will never, ever satisfy. The Bible puts it this way in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." We must make sure that we do not become complacent. We must seek for a sound mind. Now, I know sometimes when you design a lesson, you design to use the projector or not. That's why we have a lot of scriptures there. So there is something else I had in there. We're not finished with the lesson just yet, but I've read a study this past week on rock music and insanity. He said, that sounds kind of weird, but rock music and insanity go hand in hand. Listen to some of these things here. And this goes along with this idea of sound, the sound mind. You know, people that are musicians today, the rock musicians today, the they call them the beautiful people of the world. They look kind of funny to me, but they call them the beautiful. They at least dress kind of funny. And they act kind of funny, but they get divorced. They do that. But, you know, you cannot dispute that the spirit of insanity accompanies rock and roll music. Since 1950s, the rockers have thumbed their nose at God's holy laws. They want to say things, I'm free to do what I want to any old time. I'm not going to listen to anybody. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what I'm going to do. The reality has been, though, is anything but freedom. I got a couple stories here that, and once again, it was an interesting study I can give you if someone's interested. They had about 15 or 20 different rock musicians of the day that have just dealings with being insane. This man named Sid Barrett, he was the founder of Pink Floyd. And he said he consumed his life with endless hits of LCD, and he turned into a near vegetable. And during his last days, he was just there and looked like no one was home, his friends would say. You know, he had taken his mind, and it was anything but a sound mind. It was anything but actually understanding what is going on. And a person who studies the scriptures and searches the scriptures and are stirred by the preaching of the scriptures and the understanding of the scriptures, they're going to have a sound mind. But a person who thumbs their nose at God and says, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to give into my flesh whatever it wants, there are people who are going to just never be satisfied. The turmoil of the lives of the percentage of the rock musicians until many of their untimely deaths and their broken marriages and the mental instability, the pure insanity that accompanies this music. Think about a man named Graham Bond. Now, Graham Bond is one of the pioneers of jazz rock music in Britain. Was often abusive, cruel, and self-destructive. He claimed to be the son of a Satanist. And together with his first wife, Diane, he formed a band called Holy Magic, named after Crowley's sorcery. He was incarcerated by a mental hospital. It talks about how he had wild mood swings, obsession with the occult. He committed suicide at 36 by throwing himself under the wheels of a London underground train. And, you know, it's the insanity that goes along many times with people that are against God. Think about what David Bowie, he says in the mid-1970s, David Bowie became a drug-crazed recluse. His life, it was at the time, was described in the following terms. Friends who visited Bowie in Los Angeles reported that he was living in a room with curtains permanently drawn, a bowl of cocaine sitting on the table. Scattered around the floor were books of occultism and mysticism. On the walls, he had scrawled magic pentagrams for protection against the curses he believed that had been uttered against him. So convinced that he was that he had become the black magicians were planning to destroy, he hired a white witch to perform an exorcism involving the burning of blue and white candles and sprinkling salt. You know, these things is craziness. The sound mind that God desires for us to have, what Timothy is talking about here, he says, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. He's saying we need to have a sound mind. James Brown, I try to choose a couple of different people that, you know, from different types of music, jazz, James Brown. I don't know what you would call that, soul music or whatever, but the soul man, James Brown, spent many years storming about in a drug craze range in the 1980s. He threw his third wife, fur coats on the lawn, and then he began to shoot him up with a shotgun. And in 1988, Brown was arrested and charged with assault with the intent to murder the same woman, though she later withdrew the assault charge. In September that year, Brown allegedly threatened a group of people with a shotgun, then led the police through a high-speed interstate car chase that resulted in a 6-year prison term. He was paroled after 2 years, and in January 1988, he was in a hospital under treatment for addiction to painkillers. Brown was arrested 8 times, convicted 3 times, and spent a total of 5 years in jail. He said, why are you talking about all this? These are our idols of many of the kids today. And it's crazy. You know, you see the one little girl that was Hannah Montana on TV, and I think her name is Miley Cyrus. And now, you know, way back when, I would have to argue with people inside my youth group that's going to be lead to a bad path. It's not good. And now you see her today, and she's crazy. I'm sorry. There is no sound mind there. And there is no sound mind that comes from anywhere else but the Word of God.
Anytime you're putting yourself into the, in living according to your flesh will never be satisfied. It's always craving more. And the Word of God is the only thing that can give us a sound mind. Now, what does that have to do with a complacent mind? Well, the people that don't study, the people that don't learn, the people that don't understand, they have a complacent mind. They think I can listen to this music and not let it affect me. I can look at this stuff and let these people be people I look up to and support and buy all their stuff and it not bother anything at all. And we need to be careful not to be complacent. We need to learn to study and understand what the Scripture says and how Scripture works with music and how, I know some of you need to step out, but we're going to finish with this last thought. Do not have a complacent mind. Don't let your mind become complacent. So last but not least, don't let your mind become complacent. You know, the Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So the Bible is saying if you want to hunger and thirst after something, and I tell you, when you give in to the things of the world, you become hungry for them. I tell you, I used to listen to wrong music when I was a kid, and I tell you that was a struggle for many years. I hungered and I thirst for the beat of the world music, for the sound of the world music. Even when I go in stores today, I hear things from the 80s and 90s sometimes. And, those are things that appease and please the flesh. And we need to be careful. What are we hungering and thirsting after? The Bible says, happy are they. Those that are blessed, those that are living a contented life, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not after riches. Not after fame, but hunger and thirsting after righteousness. And the cool thing is, the Bible says, for they shall be filled. You will be satisfied with the Word of God. When we become complacent and think that we do not need to search the Word of God, and we do not think we need to be stirred by the Word of God, and that we do not need to seek for a sound mind, that is when we are always wanting more. How many of us know people who cannot be happy, and they always got to have the next thing, and they want this, and they want that? That's because they don't want to find what really truly brings them a sound mind. And that's the Word of God. Job 23:12 put it this way. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. And I like this last phrase. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job was saying, talking about God's word, he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth, talking about God's words, more than my necessary food. It became so important to him that he says, my Bible is more important than eating. Now, I think you should do both. I think you should study the Word of God, and I think you should also eat. But Job was saying, if I had a choice, what was more necessary was God's Word. How many of us look at it that way? Many of us could probably say, you know what? My mind has become a little complacent, maybe a little bit even smugged about the things I know. I don't think I really need to study the Word of God out. I think I'm good. Maybe some of us think that we're old enough and we come to a spot that, why do I need to learn more? I love the Apostle Paul sitting in that jail cell, knowing he is getting ready to die, said, please, bring me my books. Bring me the Bible. I want to learn more. I want to be used more by God. I think that's something we can learn from too, that we should always have a desire to want to know and learn more about him. Let's not let our minds become complacent. Let's have a word of prayer.